Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click Promote and publicize your congregation to the world.
I think that I believe that a marriage should be between a man and a woman. No offense to anybody out there.
It's the same answer that the President of the United States gave.
I believe that marriage is the union between a man and a woman.
I think that it should be between a man and a woman. Thank you.
It's the same answer that many people gave.
I am not somebody who promotes same-sex marriage.
She gave an honorable answer. She gave an answer from her heart. And I think for that, she has to be commended.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
The name is familiar to most people because this emperor, 4th century emperor, stands as a towering figure in Western history. For Christian history, he's extremely significant. He stands at a crossroads for Christianity legally. And, of course, the question of his own faith is sometimes a matter of legend, sometimes a matter of history. On this day, the church remembers 4th century Roman emperor and convert to Christianity, Constantine. And, oddly enough, his mother, Helena. Why remember the one, Helena, when her son obviously would make all others pale by comparison? And what was the role that Constantine actually played in the long story of Christianity's rise from obscure sect of Judaism, or so it was thought, to religion of the empire? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll begin with an interview on Emperor Constantine and his mother, Helena. Pastor David Peterson will be our guest. Then, Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us on this Thursday afternoon. We'll talk about the media coverage of President Obama's commencement address at Notre Dame. Some of the story was told, not all of the story. After that, we will talk about the day that the church is also celebrating on this day, the Ascension of our Lord. The Ascension of Christ is a subject with Dr. Richard Schutte of Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, coming up here in about a half hour on Issues Etc. It's Thursday afternoon, the 21st of May. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor David Peterson is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of a blog called Cyberstones. David, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
I can understand why the church would be observing the person and work of Constantine today, but why his mom, Helena?
Because his mother, Helena, is thought to be the main influence on him in terms of Christianity. And this is a common idea in the ancient world and certainly in the medieval world, so that you see a parallel there. At least from the church's way, medieval church's way of thinking, between St. Augustine and St. Monica, and in the pagan world with Alexander the Great and whoever his mother was, whose name escapes me. But, you know, when women weren't able to hold offices of power and authority, often one of the most effective ways to be a ruling woman was to be the mother of the emperor. So that idea. And then you really see, unfortunately, in a real perversion of that idea, which isn't false, or you know, to understand the mother having influence over the son. But of course, in the medieval church, that was very much perverted with Saint Mary and our Lord.
So
I think there's a relationship there.
I want to come back to Helena in a moment, but let's talk about Christianity at the time of Constantine in the Roman Empire.
Well, Christianity was pretty big at the time of Constantine. It had spread widely. It was very popular. But just before Constantine comes to power, we have the Diocletian persecutions, particularly in the East. The empire was divided East and West. Christians were seen as a threat politically and as a scapegoat, and so they had been persecuted pretty severely. So that's Constantine is really a military conqueror. And if you look at his career, even after he becomes the emperor and seems to convert to Christianity, it's pretty hard to distinguish him from any other military conqueror. I mean, he's very successful. He's a great commander in the field. He's a great politician, and he rises to power through battle, and he expands his empire and also holds power with battle and violence, murders a son, you know, all the sort of typical things, really. So that's what Christianity is in the mix there, but his mother is a Christian. Augustine is not a Christian, or doesn't seem to be a Christian. But then right before he enters, the empire is divided. He becomes the emperor. He inherits it from his father of the West, and he's in Britain. And there's another emperor in the East, and then there's this guy that's sort of over them, and he dies. So now we got the two. And then Augustine starts to expand. He wants to take over the whole empire. He goes to invade the city of Rome, goes down the Italian peninsula. Just before he comes to the city of Rome, he's outnumbered 2-1, and he has this vision. And there's two versions of this story, one from Eusebius, or maybe Eusebius tells both, I can't remember. But something happens. He has a dream where the Lord Jesus comes to him and says, "You will conquer in this sign," and then shows him a Cairo, which is a symbol that's very prevalent in the church still today. It looks like a P with an X written over it. Those are the Greek letters CH. It's a chi and R, so the first three letters of the title Christ. And then he paints these onto his soldiers' shields and onto the banners, and then they slaughter the Roman defense, and Constantine becomes the emperor of the whole Roman Empire. So that might be his conversion. The other version of that story is just that he sees a vision first and then a dream, but it's the same kind of idea. So Christianity's out there, and even when Constantine was, before he conquered Rome, when he was just emperor of the West, he was tolerant. He recognized it politically as being more useful to him to be tolerant of Christianity than to persecute it, because it was out there. And then after he becomes emperor, the whole empire, then he issues this Edict of Milan 1 year later in 313, which makes Christianity not only legal, but really the preferred religion of the empire. And all of a sudden, almost everybody's a Christian. So that's where Christianity is. It had taken off, and it was very widely popular, but the old pagans and so forth were afraid of it. There was also a lot of ideas in the Roman aristocracy, or the heirs of that the reason the empire was divided and had lost its former glory was because they weren't following the old pagan gods, and Christianity was part of the problem for that.
So, I mean, historians have looked at this and said, this was not necessarily a good thing for Christianity when it became entwined with the goals of not only the Roman state, but ultimately the Roman throne. What do you think?
Well, this is a good question. I think it really centers not on Constantine, but on Eusebius. Eusebius is the bishop in Rome when Constantine walks in. Eusebius had burnt incense to Caesar during the persecution 15 years before, because he was a bishop, and he said, it's better for me to pretend to offer incense to Caesar and to satisfy the demands of the Roman Empire, and that my life would be spared, that I could take care of my flock. So he kind of pulled this greater good argument and succumbed to it. And then Eusebius becomes really the right-hand man and the voice of Christianity for Constantine. And I think, maybe it's unfair, I think that with Constantine and with Eusebius, you have that kind of practical side of Christianity. I mean, it's hard, you can't imagine our Lord saying it would be okay to burn incense to Caesar in any circumstance, right? Our Lord's advice is to do the right thing and suffer the consequences. And I think that with Eusebius and with Constantine certainly comes that kind of pragmatism that is contrary to the faith, at least to some degree. But, of course, the Lord does great things. All things work together for good for those who love God. And, obviously, Constantine is a force for good, ultimately, whether he means it or not. and Christianity was able to prosper and to do great things that it couldn't do in the persecution, build churches, orphanages, hospitals. And Constantine gave a lot of money, tax money, to the church to do those sorts of things. So was Constantine good or bad? He was definitely a man with clay feet. I mean, as I said, it's hard to look at his career and not see him as having the same sort of passions and ambitions as any other military conqueror.
Well, one of the things, and our time grows short here, Pastor Peterson, one of the things that he's associated with is the calling of the Council of Nicaea in 325. We've only got about a minute here, the briefest of your assessments there.
Well, that, of course, was a great force for good in the church because it clearly defined and confessed that the Lord Jesus Christ is the literal Son of God, and is of the same essence as the Father and is equal to the Father and to the Spirit. And out of that council that Constantine called for whatever purposes, we got what ultimately what we now call the Nicene Creed, which has been of almost singularly great use for us and for the confession of faith.
Pastor David Peterson is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of a blog called Cyberstones. We'll post a link to Pastor Peterson's blog under the on-demand page of our website tonight, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. David, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.
I think about the influence of a mother on even an emperor that eventually, by hook or crook, and even in spite of their political machinations, a great confession of Christ is made by the church. You can't get better than that, at least in this messy world. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Colleen Carroll Campbell about President Obama's visit to Notre Dame. More than that, about the media coverage of that visit, the protest around it, and the reaction of Roman Catholics. And then we'll talk about the Ascension of our Lord on this Ascension Day, Thursday, May the 21st, with Dr. Richard Shuda. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Colleen Carroll Campbell's next.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
June 30th marks the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc., and we'd like to celebrate this milestone with you. You're invited to an open house at the studio and office of Lutheran Public Radio beginning Tuesday afternoon at 4 on June the 30th. Food, friendship, and fun. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org. We hope to see you here in Collinsville, Illinois on Tuesday, June the 30th. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
We're going to launch an online version of the Issues Etc. Journal on June the 1st, and you can subscribe by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. Do Christians make progress in their good works? I've written an article for the new online journal titled Sheep Don't Keep Track. You'll also find an article detailing Pastor George Borghardt's journey from Catholicism to Lutheranism. Get your copy of the Issues Etc. Journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.